Dr. Venus Ophelbes, welcome. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you for calling me by my full name. Okay. It's like, all right.
I gotta be official.
That was great. It's all good. I'm used to Dr. Venus right now. Dr. Venus is all good. No, thank you for having me. Thank you for your grace. I'm excited about this conversation. It's the first time I've ever had it. Ooh.
I know. I'm so excited. I think this conversation is going to be so juicy because I think it's going to create some insight for a lot of people. And the reason I know that is because when I had this conversation with you and you poured into me, it was insight, right? And it was almost like you just tilted my head a little bit and I went, oh, really? You know, you just showed me my little blind spot and there it was. So I wanna you to share with everyone listening. When we had a conversation, you taught me this whole concept of survival, and I know it's very much a Dr. Venus concept. And can you start by just sharing with everybody what this concept of survival is?
Excellent, absolutely, and thank you for asking. I don't know if anyone's ever asked me to share this. You know, like, I've never had this happen, so this is kind of cool. So when I say survival, no, I'm serious. It's such an underpinning of my body of work that in some ways I take it for granted. But when I say survival, the way that I define survival is the following way. A physiological condition that gets triggered when you're threatened and your response is to either freeze, flee, or fight. That is what I'm calling survival, okay? And just to give you some context, the reason why I distinguish survival so clearly is because most of my tribe, they rely on willpower. They really have a whole invested interest in the notion of willpower. Well, willpower is a psychological distinction. And it's rooted in the main thing about willpower that we really don't always tend to is that willpower implies volition. It implies that if you do it hard enough, want it bad enough, focus long enough, then you will get the desired outcome. So, for example, we're talking about our bodies, okay? And we're saying, okay, I want to lose weight, okay? And we're doing great for about 3 weeks, okay? And then something happens. And what we think is, okay, because something happened, I now can willpower my way through my cravings, through my hurt feelings, through my depression, through my disgust with my body, and we can't. Because willpower is survival's bitch. Now, what I mean by that is this. Survival will always trump willpower. Okay, so let me say it in an illustration. Imagine you're driving a car. You're just trucking along, trucking along, right? And you're driving on the highway. You're doing your thing. You got your music playing. You actually have both your hand. You know, you have both hands on the steering wheel. You're great. But then, at the side of your eye, coming out of your blind spot, you feel and see something. It looks like a car is swerving in your lane. Before you can think, your heart starts pounding, your chest contracts, your tummy starts to get upset, and your foot pumps the brake, your hands literally tighten their grip on the steering wheel and literally move you out of harm's way. Here's the thing. When you look over completely to your right, you realize there wasn't a car there. It was just a bird flying low, and the shadow hit your car, and you thought it was danger. Mm-hmm. But notice you couldn't stop it. You could no more stop yourself by willing yourself to be courageous in that moment than you could have stopped breathing. You see what I'm saying? That is the power of survival. So a lot of times when it comes to, at least for me, when it comes to my body, I've learned that I can have the best intentions. I can hire a personal trainer. I can buy all the good food, the diet food, the sugar-free shit, antioxidants, all that shit. Buy it all, right? But in the end, if my wife hurts my feelings, or I feel like somebody has talked down to me, or I'm at a place where I feel like I don't have any control, or I've lost something, or I failed majorly, I want the fucking cookie. I don't care mm-hmm. about the weight. I want the comfort. I want to feel like I have some say-so. I want to feel like I have some kind of power in my life. And that is the power of survival. It makes you feel like you have control. If you can fight, you have control. If you can run, you can have control. If you can freeze and play possum, you have control until the threat passes. And then you
now
look back on all the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, that is so truth to power, because, you know, and we're going to put it in the context of health. And I know that there's so many people just listening to what you're saying, and they've got the diet, they've got the exercise machine, they got the trainer, they got the this, and you hear it. Now you just need that willpower. Now you just need that willpower. And they get something, life comes running down the street, and they know, and they hold on and go, you know what, I'm just going to use willpower, and it doesn't work. And what you're saying,
it can't,
because survival, which is what I'm hearing, is an unconscious mechanism in some way.
Suzanne, it's worse than that. It's a physiological condition.
I got you.
It's totally different. And if it was anything else, we could talk about it. But just like your heart beats,
survival.
When you're threatened, you will go into survival. It's not like you can stop it. I wish we could. If we could, everybody be skinny and blonde. You know what I'm saying? Everybody. Me too. It's a physiological condition, and we don't account for that. We keep thinking that if we are strong enough, we can get a different outcome, and that is fallacy. That's a child's logic. That is, if I wish it away, it's going to work. No. When you get threatened, you will either freeze, flee, or fight.
Right.
And some of us fight with our food. Some of us use our food to say, screw you to other people. Some of us use our bodies to hide in plain sight. Some of us have had bad things happen to our body, and we punish ourselves for other people acting out they shit on our bodies. All of that has to do with survival strategies. Ain't got nothing to do with food. Nothing.
Wow. You know, I know that there's people listening right now going, oh, my goodness. Like, I get it. So if I equate survival to my heart pumping, to breathing air, to all those things that happen without me even knowing in my body.
Noticing. No, you do know. But that's the thing. You do know, but you don't notice. You stop noticing you're breathing until you run out of breath. But you know you're breathing.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a fine distinction, but it's not an unconscious mechanism. It's a physiological condition. That means and that's the reason I'm pressing it, is because a lot of times people want to turn it into psychology. No, this is just pure stimulus and response. It's the reason why we didn't get eaten by the dinosaurs. It's just that basic.
That is so powerful. So survive. So let's say I'm going along with my health plan, and and something has upset me, right? And I know when I get upset, I like comfort. It's called bread, wine, and butter. Okay. just so we know.
I love it. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, Suzanne, it's not that you like it, you crave it.
Right.
See, this is what I mean by...
Yeah.
That's the reason why I'm bringing... I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's not my intent.
This is perfect. This is perfect.
Thank you. It's a conversation, y'all. But the reason why I'm honing in on it, because when you say it's something that I seek out, no, it seeks you out. It's not willpower. It's literally, if you're craving, I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you crave salt because your body didn't have enough magnesium or some shit. I don't know the exact thing, but your body, when things are a physical condition, it's like an addiction. It's a craving. Alcoholism isn't because people want to get drunk. It's because it's a craving. They can't be satisfied any other way. So until people realize that they are in survival with their bodies, I'll say their bodies and the food happens to be their weapon of choice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're starving yourself or using it and abusing food. But it's not a choice. It's not your drug of comfort. It's like the drug chose you. You didn't choose the drug.
Got it. And such clarity, because those distinctions that you're making are so mm-hmm. are so powerful, because now I'm getting clearer and clearer and clearer as we have this discussion, and I'm understanding that I'm sitting here going, it just happened. So now what? Right.
Well, that's a great question. We could talk about that, but before we should definitely before y'all want to split your wrist. There is hope. But before we say, oh my God, I'm doomed. Oh God. No, you're not doomed. But you're working on the wrong thing, sweetheart. If you're working on willpower, you're going to lose this fight. You see what I'm saying? The trick
I want to highlight that for everyone listening.
Okay.
If you're working on willpower, Dr. V, I'm gonna call you Dr. V right now. Dr. V says you're going to lose this fight. I want to underline that because I bet you 90% of the line is doing exactly that, probably 98%, right? They're totally working on willpower.
And I did too. I mean, welcome to the club. I think we all have, and no one, this is what makes me useful on the planet is I spend my time thinking about you, okay? And I'm looking at how can we do the shit we do? And when we really break it down, willpower is a false god. So let's just handle that part first. People, we worship at the altar of willpower because it makes us feel like we have some control over our lives. That's all that is, okay? And when life breaks your heart, when something happens, when life kicks you to the curb, the thing that gets threatened is that you have no power. You see what I'm saying? You can't stop a child from dying. You can't make a man stay. You can't insist they give you a raise. You see what I'm saying? Like, when those things happen, what kicks in is your physiology. So you may be saying to yourself, I'm okay, except for you're reaching for the wine because you want to numb out, you want to feel something, or you don't want to feel something. So the thing, the first piece, that before we can get to the antidote, we got to get clear on the symptoms, which is, when your ass gets threatened, we can count on you will either freeze, flee, or fight, whatever that looks like for you. So for some people, the way they freeze is they stay at home. You see what I'm saying? For some people, the way they fight is they go shopping. You know, and for some people, freeze. And for some people who flee, they sleep around. You see what I'm saying? It's going to look the way it looks in your life. It's not going to look like a textbook definition. So I'm inviting everyone within the sound of my voice to map this onto your real life so it's useful to you. So once you get that part, once you understand, okay, I've been functioning like if I have more, if I'm strong enough, try hard enough, persist long enough, something will change. No, it will make you tired. It will discredit you to yourself, and you'll feel like a fucking loser. So let's just stop with the willpower, okay? Don't use it for life. Use it for, I don't know, underwater basket weaving, okay? Let's move over to survival. Here's the key. Here's the antidote to survival. The first thing is this, and you just have to breathe through this one with me, okay? You cannot get rid of it. You can't change it. I can't change that I'm 5'11". No, I'm not. I lied. 5'7". No, 5'8". 5'11" with some heels. But I'm 5'8". I mean, such a fantasy. This is what I mean with willpower, y'all. But that's not going to change. I'm a black woman who's 5'8". That's no amount of willpower is going to change that physiology. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what I do, this is what I got. I get to work with this for the rest of my life. Okay? So the first thing you have to really be okay with and really get okay with is that You are wired to survive. You are going to do it. It's not going to go away. No amount of willpower, no amount of wanting it to be different, it's going to change anything. If it were, it would have by now. So let's just get that. Okay, great. Let's just lock that down so you can stop trying to change you. You can't change you. We tried that. You tried it. Your mama tried it. Your boo tried it. It didn't fucking work. So let's not do that, okay? Instead of trying to overcome yourself, overcome your survival, I recommend that you seduce it.
Ooh. That kind of sounds like fun.
It does, doesn't it? I recommend
it does.
It's supposed to, but the thing is, it takes the weight off of it. You see what I'm saying? It takes Go ahead.
And I love the permission to accept, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes we are so taught about changing and repackaging and transforming and fight. And what I'm hearing you say is that no, don't try and change it. Don't try and have it disappear. It just embrace and accept it. That survival
I think you can try to change it, but it's going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You can try to fight you. It's only going to make it worse. Have you ever noticed that when you want to lose weight, the more you focus on the weight, the more you gain? So it's just the human condition. You're going to fight your humanity. You're going to lose. Your arms are too short to box with God on this one. So I don't know about acceptance as much as surrender.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Know about acceptance. I don't know if I really, because I'm not confident I understand the term acceptance, but I understand surrender.
Okay.
When I give up the fight,
cool.
I give up the ghost, right? And it is a kind of death, you know? It's a dying to the fantasy of what you thought you were going to be or what you thought you could be, or it's a dying of sorts, right? It's an identity death. It's the death of the image of a self. When I was in my 20s, I look very different than I do in my 40s. And I had to let the visual in my mind of my 25-year-old body die before I could accept my 45-year-old body. And it took me a couple of years because I resisted this. I'm like, I should be able to do the same things with my body at 45 that I did at 25. And it was an unfair fight, okay? And two, it kept me dissatisfied with the life I have now. Once I surrendered to like, V, you're a great 45. I don't know that many 45-year-old people look like you. That's when things started to move. So the first step is you're going to have to surrender, okay?
Mm.
The second one is you're going to have to, and then the second step is that image in your mind of what you think it should look like will have to die. You will have to kill her. She has to die. It is not reasonable. It's not acceptable. It's not even, it's not nice. It's like, die, bitch, die, okay? She has to die. I hope you told him I cursed Suzanne, so you have to put that in somewhere or beep it out.
No, not really.
Oh, God, y'all, I'm bilingual. She ain't helping me at all with this. But I speak street. I speak Stanford. So she has to die. And then you have to seduce her. And let me tell you how this works. If you think about a lover or somebody that you are sweet on, there are certain steps you take every time. The first thing you do is you get very fucking interested in that person. You get interested to it. You start to learn them. You have to learn your survival. You have to learn your triggers. You have to learn this. It's not automatic. It's not like it's just waiting there for you to tell it. You're going to have to watch you when you get grumpy, see what triggers you, watch how you play it out, look at how you clean it up afterward. This is an undertaking, okay? So you have to get as interested in your survival as you are in a lover. Okay, so that's the third step. That's the third step, getting interested and getting the understanding. And once you can finally see, okay, this is what triggers me. This is what pisses me off. The first thing you have to do is put it on pause. So if you know your feelings got hurt, before you pick up the phone, before you pick up the cookie, you have to be present enough to say, be still. Be still. That means take no action. Sounds crazy, but it works. If you have to, walk around the block. If you have to, sit down, color in your adult coloring book, do a meditation, say a prayer, burn a candle. I don't give a fuck. Do something, all right? But the objective is to have you have a moment to put it on pause before the reaction kicks in. Now, I'm going to tell you to your face, you're going to lose this a couple of times the first times, okay? It's okay. Give yourself a moment to really get an understanding about how you get triggered so you can put it on pause. Once you put it on pause, now we have a moment. It's like a window of opportunity. It's like a sale that goes away at midnight. You've got a window of opportunity. And in this window, what you're looking to do is really get to what is the source of the upset. And what you're looking at is, do you feel insulted? Do you feel put down? Do you feel like nobody loves you? Do you feel alone? And once you can identify that, ask yourself this question. And Suzanne, you may want to write this down for them, because this is All right. This is the question you want to ask yourself is this. Where did that start? Where did that start? Because it didn't start with the hang-up or the breakup. It didn't start with being fired. It started before.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? It started well before. And once you identify that, you're going to find out that this has been something that's been bothering you, or people, it's been happening before. It's not the first time. And what you want to do, once you identify the source, then you have to do this. You have to discredit the source. So my mother used to tell me I was ugly. She used to say bad things to me. And I believed it because she was my mother, okay? So as I got older, I thought I was ugly, and I related like I was ugly. So I had an ugly attitude. I acted ugly because I didn't think anybody thought I was pretty. And once I did these steps I'm suggesting, and I actually realized that when my mother called me ugly, she didn't have a lot of vocabulary. You know, she could have been meaning a lot of different things. And it took me a while to realize her ugly wasn't necessarily a put-down. It was just the limit of her world. She didn't have a lot of language. But that gave me some compassion. So I discredit her. I discredit the source of the pain. You see what I'm saying? So I stopped taking her word more valuable than this new evidence that the world was giving me that they thought I was pretty. So you have to, it's almost like detonating a bomb. You got to be willing to look at where it started and discredit the source. Once you get that piece in, now we can talk. Now that, okay, well, since I'm not ugly, what could I be? And then that's where the play comes in. That's where the seduction comes in. You start looking at different ways you can tend to you, different ways to take care of you, different ways to stay in the game, not fight, not flee. And you have to come up with something that you can honor. So I'm very clear that I need support. And my support needs to be outside of me. So I have to have my life set up so that I either have a personal trainer or I can go walk around the block. And I hired Suzanne. She helped me with my nutrition. And she also helped me with doing 20 minutes a day. Now, I don't do 20 minutes a day, but I do some activity a day, whether it's push-ups, sit-ups, biking, whatever. But I do it not for my weight. I do it to feel good about me. And that's a shift. That it's not about my body will do what she does at 45. But the fact that I'm conscious of what I'm putting in my body, the fact that I'm active with my body, the fact that I'm accepting my 45-year-old body, my body is transforming. Not because I'm trying to change me, but because I've surrendered and I've seduced me by finding, getting to the source, and putting structures in place that have nothing to do with my feelings. And have everything to do with being pulled into action.
I know for many people this is such a unique and different way of looking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I love when you say, first of all, I love the whole concept of seduction.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true, is to get interested and to look for what are those triggers, and I think that is so you know, for me, I'm a person who needs info, right? So when you say get interested, I'm like, oh, ooh, I can get interested in me because I'm looking because I'm looking for something. Why I highlight that because the other way I was when I did it with willpower, I was actually disempowered. Right? Because I couldn't regain control. I could not grasp that. Right? No matter how much I tried, I could not grasp that. But the act of getting interested in me and looking for patterns, I can grasp that. Right? So in some ways, you give me something to go, okay, let me look over here and let me look for some answers. And I love that this is, it's almost like there's an intrigue, whereas the other place was force and pressure and push. Right? And for me, that's huge because I like, for me, I always think my brain needs hooks. They need these things to hook onto. And when you say, go investigate, get interested in me, that's a hook. I can automatically go, oh, when this happened, I need to now start looking. It's a hook, something I can put my mind on, like, okay, I can go do that. So that was the first thing for me that was really tangible. And then once I find something, put it on pause. Oh gosh. And I want to highlight that. Put it on pause. For me, to me when I get put on pause, I'm like, okay, Suzanne, breathe. Just remember to breathe. Okay, breathe. Right. And then for me, pause is usually some sort of walk. Breathe and walk. Breathe and walk. Breathe and walk. Get some fresh air. Breathe and walk. Breathe and walk. But in that moment, what I get from what you're saying is I'm creating a space to find new information. And when you say find the source. Am I tracking this correctly?
Oh, yeah. You're doing great. You're finding the source, getting to the source of where did I start from? Because whatever the trigger was did not start with yesterday. You see what I'm saying? This is something that happened before.
So talk a little bit about that when you say whatever the trigger was didn't start from yesterday, because I want to make sure that everyone's clear. So what you're saying is it's an incident that happened in the past that I chose to make mean something.
Well, I think that's pretty generous. I don't know if you chose to make that. Again, that implies willpower. When you're threatened, you're no longer a choice. You're surviving the moment. And it's not a choice. It's literally, I need to not die, right? And there's different concepts. There's emotional death. There's social death. There's physical death. There's familiar death. There's different kinds of death to the identity, right? It's different kind of death to self. So it's looking at, this is, so you have to look in your real life. When I think about, I'm trying to think of something that happened recently. I had a run-in today, this morning, with a mentor that I'm paying money, good money to, and I felt talked down to. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm already, for those of you who don't know me, I'm sensitive, and I got a quick tongue and a quick temper, right? Which is not the best combination when you're pissed. So she said something that pissed me off, and I didn't flip like I used to, but I did clap back, right? And so we got it sorted out, and I was talking to my baby sister about it, and I was walking, doing my pause. I was walking around the lake being pissed, right? But I realized when I was like, where did I start, is that I've had a number of white people in my life talk to me like they're doing me a favor. And there were incidents when I was younger, when I was coming up off the streets, where people would say things, I'm doing this for you, when they really weren't doing it for me. They were doing it for themselves. So that got triggered. That's an old wound. You see what I'm saying? Ain't got nothing to do with who I'm talking to today. So I have to go back to, okay, what happened? And I just think about different, and for me, it was a white person, okay, saying they were, you know, helping me when it was really, they were just patting their own pocket. And I had to, and I realized that what I had to do was grow me up to the present tense today, not the past. So what I could see for myself was like, okay, they're not the same people. It's not the same situation. That did happen. This is not that. And I now have a voice. So now that I have a voice, what do I want to say? And that's where I started seducing me. Like, well, I want to say, fuck you. Okay, we had that option. What else could we say? I could. Well, no. You laughed. That shit was real for me.
No, that's a
viable option.
I was laughing because I know how real that was.
Okay. And I thought through it and I said, you know what? What I can say is I will allow you to fix this. And I did. And now we're golden. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But my tendency is to take my marbles and get the fuck out of Dodge. You see what I'm saying? Really. And I even said, don't do shit for me. You know, in the email. You know, and she called. We got to sort it out. And we got to sort it out. But I was present enough to know that I was triggered, rightfully so or not, is irrelevant. And it gave me the chance, the opportunity set. It gave me the pause to have a different outcome than having to take myself away. That's how I fight. I leave. And I know when I leave, the fucking sun leaves with me. So me staying is the transformation, is the gift. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Doing it, but I had to go back to come forward. And some of these things take 30 seconds. Sometimes it takes 30 minutes. Sometimes it takes 3 days. Sometimes it takes 3 weeks, depending on what you really need to be honest with yourself about and grow yourself up, you know, into. But it kept me from, I was able to get my walk in. I was able to eat well today. I didn't eat the donuts. You see what I'm saying? Like, because it wasn't about punishing me or making me feel better. It was, they weren't connected. I separated the survival from the practice of trying to feel better by eating. But that's all that is.
You know, I want to just go back from the top because I really want everybody to just get and really grasp the blessing that you're giving. Because as people do their health and they've got their program dialed in, they got their nutrition plan, they got their trainer, they got their equipment, they got their pretty outfits, all stuff that they're ready to go. They're tracking, they're doing their workouts, it's all going fine. Life comes down the street in some form or another, right? And totally knocks them off their game. And they and in that moment, what's beautiful is usually we would try to will ourselves back on track, right? That's usually the thing. Willpower, will myself back on track. I know what to do. I'm stronger than this. That is that. And what you're giving us is an opportunity to just say, okay, something else has kicked in, called survival, right? And now I have some steps because I understand that I can't fight her because she's stronger than me, right? So, whew, that's kind of cool. Can't fight her, she's stronger than me. So let's just surrender. And in that moment, what you've just given everybody is an opportunity to take some steps to look, to find some information, to pause, to ask yourself, what was the source of this? Where did it start? And then what can I do differently? And I think that in and of itself gives people everyone an opportunity to go, okay, this is, I'm just going to surrender to what's happening, but I'm going to investigate what's happening. And I'm going to find new info. And from that, I'm going to make new choices, right? And what you're saying is I'm going to find a different way to empower myself. It's not based on forcing a situation, but comes from surrendering to a situation, to something. Right? And looking in a new place for new information that allows me to expand who I am. And what I really love about what you're saying, Dr. V, is that in that, you're not going to fix the situation. You're going to take new information that allows you to make new choices.
Exactly.
And from those new choices, is realizing that I'm not off course because I'm too weak and I can't do my diet. I'm off course because there's something I don't yet understand. And the minute I get the information, I'm going to be empowered some way, somehow, to answer some question that's going to allow me to get back where I want, where keep moving.
Well, take a new action. It allows you to take a new action. That's all it is, a new action that wasn't available before. And I don't know what that new action will be, but it won't be what you normally do. You know what I'm saying? And we don't know what it is.
And it won't be shaming yourself. It won't be blaming yourself. It won't be kicking yourself and going, oh, I'm just not strong enough. What you've removed are those regular things where, oh, I'm just going to give my hands up because I'm just not strong enough, blah, 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 blah. We all know it. We've all had the dialogue.
I've had the dialogue, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So it won't, mm-hmm. and I think what's powerful is it won't be that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be something mm-hmm. different that comes from a source mm-hmm. of insight and empowerment, which
mm-hmm.
is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's how you should do survival. So, and the only thing I'll say, just so it's got a bow on it, is that the focus is not about losing weight, but taking care of you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As far as I'm concerned, everything comes down to your relationship with yourself. And if you focus on tending to the wound, tending to the hurt, tending to the bruise, tending to what triggered you, and I call those moments places where life broke your heart, you tend to that, you'll naturally handle the weight. I was able
mm-hmm.
to lift weights today, not do stupid stuff with food today. I don't have to punish myself because I'm not in a reaction. I'm not trying to protect myself or flex my own power muscle because there's no threat. I've officially lowered the threat.
That is so well said. And, you know, in almost every interview we've done, I've come back to that. I truly believe that when I do my health, it's the most intimate relationship I can have with me, right? It's an
mm-hmm.
intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And health
mm-hmm.
is about my willingness to love myself, honor myself
mm-hmm.
and respect myself. And when I'm in that conversation, not about fixing,
mm-hmm.
losing, you know,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, but coming to
mm-hmm.
a place of this is my opportunity to love me, respect me, and honor me. And what you're saying is so in alignment with that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else happens the way it's meant to.
Mm-hmm.
And I say
mm-hmm.
the way it's meant to because our bodies are in transitions in different phases of our lives, depending on what your age is. And I think things fall into place the way it's meant to. And sometimes it's as you said, when you surrender to the new,
mm-hmm.
you know, to you surrender and you let go of who you thought you were supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
right? And you
mm-hmm.
become open to who you are
mm-hmm.
in the, I always go, I'm open to who I'm in the process of becoming.
I love that.
As I love, honor, and respect myself. It is so
mm-hmm.
cool because who I'm in the process of becoming is always a gift because it's often way bigger than I ever expected, way
mm-hmm.
bolder, way more beautiful, way more magnificent than I ever expected. But my access to that is to surrender
mm-hmm.
and allow the
mm-hmm.
process to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
it.
Thank
Great
you.
Great job. Yep, I'm dropping mics now. Booyaka, baby. Outstanding. You got it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you are so welcome. I feel full right now. And when
mm-hmm.
I was putting this together, you know, this whole series, one of the things I said is I must get this particular conversation with Dr. Venus Opal Reese because she will provide a level of insight that I don't think anybody else can. And I will say that,
mm-hmm.
like I know my name. Right?
Mm.
I don't think anybody could bring this the way you do so that people could have such clarity. And it's such a gift.
Mm.
And thank you so much for
You're
what
welcome
you do.
Man. Yay, T. Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me spout my word to your tribe. And I think they're lucky. I think we're lucky to have you. Thank you for the work you do in the world. Thank you for loving us enough to even put together this opportunity set for us to be in dialogue about our relationship to ourselves through our health. I love the word of the idea of being intimate, the love of intimacy with self. So, you know, I'm just appreciative that you allow me the opportunity to feed your flock, and I don't take it lightly, and I thank you for the chance. Is it okay if I get, may I give them a gift? Is that okay?
Of course you can give a gift. And
well,
also,
we didn't. Go ahead.
And also, definitely give a gift, and also where someone can, because I know people are like, where are we going to find her? Where can we find her? Because that's how I was. Where can we find her? So please
so
let them know also where they can find you.
Okay. Okay, well, you can find me at defyimpossible.com. That's the quickest way to reach me. And what I want to give you is has nothing to do with what we talked about. I tend to focus on money. And I focus on healing your heart as the key to your economic affluence. So the gift I want to give you is something that if you're interested in your relationship to yourself through money, The same principles, this whole idea of survival, it doesn't just impact your body and your health, it impacts your money. It's the same principles, and if you want to see some real impact, look at your money. If you don't know how you feel about yourself, check your bank account. So go to defyimpossible.com/gift. Okay. I have a training there called Get Money. It teaches you how to bring in money starting exactly where you are, whether you're an employee, an entrepreneur, a single mom, a stay-at-home dad, wherever you are. And it's a 3-hour audio training and a 21-page workbook. It's a $3,500 value, and it is my gift to you for being part of Suzanne's tribe. And it's my way of dating you before we get married. You know, you should check up on me to see if you can deal with my edge. It's a fair warning, right? Because I'm pretty committed. I'm committed to you making your paper, so I don't back down. That being said, I am your champion. For those of you who are willing to do the work of healing as the key to your economic affluence. So that's my gift, defyimpossible.com/gift.
And we have been talking to Dr. Venus Opal Reese. This is, as I said, I was going to bring some of my mentors. This is one of my mentors, my gift. Like, she's been such a gift to me. Dr. Venus, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, Suzanne. I appreciate you.
I so appreciate you.